Okie dokie. Oh, yeah. Strange times in the old home front here today. We've got, let's see, the front of the store is now a drive-up. And turn this down a bit. Come on, turn that down. There we go. The front of the store is now a drive-up pickup service. If you know what you need, you can just pull up out front and, you know, walk up to the gate thing there, and we'll wait on you, you know, get you whatever you want. If you want to come into the store, because we're limited by how many people can be in the store at a time, so you have to pull into the back parking lot on Edgewater, and we have two driveways back there, big U-shaped parking lot, you know, there's quite a bit of parking and all that. If you want to come in to look for something that you're not sure of, come around back and you can come in the store. Now, if the yellow chain's across the entryway, that means you're going to have to wait until another person leaves the store until you can go in. But that's the way it's working now. So, you know, we're shortening hours. To be quite honest, we had a weekend where there was a lot of people we didn't know and a lot of people that had come down from up north, scared the heck out of everybody in here. And so they wanted shorter hours. And so we're doing one shift a day with both crews on the same shift. And, you know, it wasn't bad because we had almost nothing going on in Charlotte County. And then we had an influx of people come in from other areas, and then now we've got it, numbers are going up pretty good. So what we're doing is you know, trying to limit everybody's exposure. We're spraying Lysol, we got hand wipes, we got all that kind of stuff, so we're trying to keep everything up. We've got other disinfectants we're using around the store so that, you know, everything's going to be as good as can be expected for a while. Me, I'm more of a fatalist. Lived through bunches of pandemics in my life, all the way back, you know, the 50s, and I don't know, I kind of figure my days already got it written. If this one's going to get me, that was my time. If the next one's going to get me, that was my time. You know, if I walk out in the parking lot, somebody runs me over with a boat and trailer, you know, nope, that was my time. I'm not going to worry about what, you know, take precautions and, you know, reasonable care. Other than that, I'm okay. Everything's going good. Robert, are you okay? No, you're not. No. Robert's all freaked out. I mean, for some reason, oh, this one's got you spooked.
It does.
Yeah, which is not a bad thing. You know, maybe you'd be a little extra cautious, and you know. But you got a lot to live for right now.
I do. I mean, I'm very lucky. I'm actually extremely lucky. I mean, if it is my time, it's a pretty damn good time to go. I mean,
yeah, you're going out of winter anyway, right?
Yeah, I mean, without a doubt. I've got you in my life, I've got Christina in my life, I've got unbelievable family in here and outside. You know, gets you to reflect on a lot of weird stuff. But no, I'm pretty darn good. Yeah, but I am scared.
So,
but that's what I think, that's part of
having something to lose.
Well, no, yeah, but no.
If you got nothing to lose, what do you care?
But I think that's part of what makes you and I work in a lot of other ways. I think about this in a little different perspective. You think about it in a different perspective. We chat it out, and sometimes find something in the middle, and
we've always gone to, like, when we go to do lures or whatever, if we both like it, we'll buy it. If I like it and you don't, then you got to think about it. If you like it and I don't, we got to think about it. If we both don't like it, we're definitely not buying it.
Right.
You know, if you never want to work with somebody who thinks the way you think, because what do you need two of you for? You need somebody who's different, who thinks differently, reacts differently. I could give a rat's butt less about the virus. Robert's all in on everything. So between the two of us, everything's working out.
Yeah.
Because to me, all I want to know is, you know, I don't know, but I'm Yeah, it's just the way it goes. But the good thing is we are in the business of social distancing for the most part. Mm-hmm. Most of our customers, and I did say before our customers, and it simply wasn't true. A lot of them are actually kind of dumb. They would pull up to a pier, see it full of people, and walk onto the pier anyway, which ended up getting the piers closed. To me, this is stupidity, dull thinking, blunt-edged objects. You should, if you pull up to somewhere and you see a lot of people at this time, you simply go to the next one. And too many people get plan A in their head, and that's all they're going to do.
Right.
Now, I made a career out of having plan A, plan B, all the way to plan Q.
Right.
Because that's the way I am. And I understand I'm really weird, and most people are more normal than I am. And there's normal way over there, me way on the other side of it. But when I'm going fishing in the boat, I do the same thing. I don't worry so much about where I'm going as to forget where I am. Because sometimes the most amazing fish you're going to find are right there where you're at.
Right.
You see tarpon rolling, schools of mackerel, whatever it might be. But if you're so focused where you're going, you don't notice those things.
Right.
Be a part of where you are at the moment. And especially when it comes to fishing. And did a thing on the radio today on Josh's show was about if you're going to fish the piers, this is a great time because you're not allowed on the pier, so you have to do something different. Now, if it's me, no matter when I go to fish a pier, I want to walk up, and if there's a chance to walk off to the side of the pier and cast under it, that's where you're going to find some really cool fish.
Yeah.
That first sections of pilings there, they're more likely to be snook, redfish, all kinds of stuff in those first sections underneath. And if you don't mind waiting, one of the best things you can do is go out and walk in the water next to a pier and start casting under that pier. That's where you're going to find these fish. And the big fish, when you stand on a pier and cast away from it, you're casting away from anything big.
Right.
Because the small fish don't want to come up to the pier because underneath that pier is big fish that will eat them. So you find the smaller, you know, you find trout or ladyfish and stuff like that out away from the pier because they're afraid. They want to go underneath there because there's probably food there, but they don't want to get eaten either.
Right.
So if they're out that far, that's giving you a really good idea that if there wasn't big fish under that dock or under that pier, they would go in there and eat. But if they're not getting that close, that's telling you something's big is there. Then it's big enough to eat a 16-inch ladyfish.
Yeah. No, that's true. You know, and it also gets you to enhance, hopefully, your fishing abilities for later on down the road because now you're thinking about plan B or plan C. You know, plan A never always works. It's just a consistent comfort thing.
And so, it's what plan A is usually what I want.
Mm-hmm.
I want to do this. This is what I want to do. Tough luck.
Right.
You don't always get what you want, but if you simply go to the next thing, and it might be better.
Yeah.
You know, don't worry so much about you want. You know, say, okay, I want to go fishing. Make that the focus, but I don't want to be around other people, so make that the focus. Put those two things together and go to till you find it. I've got dozens and dozens of places on the website. Just start at the closest one and work your way out.
Right. No, that's true. It's a good idea.
Yeah, well, I'm not trying to be... Well, I am rude about it. I'm rude, nasty, mean, and everything. I would say I'm a jerk, but I am the most helpful jerk on the planet.
Right.
So, speaking of helpful jerks, Peace River System.
It's been a little quiet up there just because so many people that have been going out on their boats actually have been running down the harbor because of the weather. But the few guys that have been fishing up there have been getting into some nice snook from, I don't know what that straightaway is, going towards Shell Creek. Is that still technically Shell Creek?
Yeah, you mean...
Before the trestle.
Yeah, that's just Shell Creek.
Okay, so all along the Shell Creek area, there's been some big snook. I've had two pictures that were shown to me of fish in the high 30s. There was a couple juvenile tarpon there several days ago. And then one gentleman's been getting some redfish underneath the docks along the south side of the river, Punta Gorda side. And then there's been a lot of gar upriver above the Navigator. A couple of guys have been messing around trying to challenge themselves, trying to catch gar. So it's been kind of neat, some of different perspectives.
If you're going to go out and try and get the gar, and you've got shrimp, freshwater shiners, or even some kind of lure, if you actually want to be successful at it, go in the wife's box or your craft box, depending, you know, guys that can have craft box too, and find some red ribbon, you know, the holiday red ribbon, and cut off about a 4 to 6 inch piece of it. I'd say around 4 inches. Get 2 4-inch pieces. And then you want to take some thread and tie it before and after and put your hook through between the thread. And what you're doing there is you're making something to entangle the gar's teeth. They have such little tiny, tiny, pointy, sharp teeth, more like you would think of in a northern pike. Or not as big like a muskie's teeth, more like a northern pike. And those little needle teeth, when they clamp down on something, most of the time it just slides right through. They don't get a good bite on it. If you ever seen them with a shiner, it's all just kind of roughed up because they're... You would think they were gumming it, but they got tons and tons of tiny little needle teeth, which would get, what, stuck in a red ribbon?
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to land your fish.
There's actually a tribe over, I think it's in Madagascar, where they fish for the houndfish and the needlefish, which the houndfish is just a big needlefish. And they actually go into the woods and collect a... orb weaver or the big banana spider type webbing, and they wad that up onto the end of line like a almost like a Q-tip, and they pull that through the water behind their boat like they're trolling.
Mm-hmm.
And the houndfish and needlefish come up and grab it thinking it's a small bait fish and get entangled in it, and they bring them in.
Decades ago a guy showed me how to make flies for gar, and it was simply a number one hook or one aught, anything from a 2 to a 1 aught. It could be the hook size. They've got pretty good opening on their mouth, so it doesn't really matter. And you just tie red ribbon to it as a trailer, and it's a hook with a piece of red ribbon on it, and it works great as a fly for gars. If you want to make it a little fancy, put a little mylar around the, you know, just down to where the hook ends and let the ribbon trail out of it. But it's the ribbon that catches the fish. The mylar might help get their attention.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
You know, once I learned that, and I've just taken that into spinning and whatever else, because it's pretty easy. Getting down around I-75.
I've got nothing there at all.
Okay. 41 Bridge.
That's been doing really good. The Black Drum, there's been a few trout, an occasional Spanish mackerel. You know, bait's relative. If there's some bait around, the Spanish mackerel have been around. Been a few small sharks, black tips and bull sharks. And then the snook and the tarpon have been there at night. If you go down there, if you're willing to go fish in the dark, it's been, I wouldn't say great, but it's definitely well worth the trip. And the oddball sized tarpon haven't showed up. Most of them have been 10 to 30 pounds.
Gotcha. Lash Lake Pier, they were letting people on Lash Lake in limited numbers, but keep in mind, on the Punta Gorda side, you've got Ponce de Leon, Gilcrest, Paddy Ave, Darst, and Riverside that you can walk up and fish from the shore there. And usually the piers, you know, if there can only be 10 people on a pier. So if you will pull up and there's 10 people at Lash Lake, go over to Gilcrest. There might not be anybody in Gilcrest. Or go down to Paddy Ave. Click the links on the fishing report, and I'll show you where they are. So what's going on? Anything you heard?
I have not.
Okay. Bayshore Pier?
Nothing. Still didn't hear where that fire was at. I got to take a drive over there and see where that was at.
I had a friend of mine who took me. I was probably 14. And I had money because I always worked. And he didn't have enough money to buy a car, so I went in halves with him on the car. Well, he drove one night. He saw the fire trucks going by, ambulances and all that. he had to follow him. I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, well, we're going to help. And I'm like, how are we going to help? You know, I'm 14 years old. He's 16. He's got his driver's license. And he followed along. And then he goes there and he goes, well, you know, big fire. And they just about had it out. It was a barn fire. And he goes to turn around in the road and drops back tires off in the ditch. We had to be pulled out. Everybody yelling at us. I'm like, I don't look at accidents. Everybody should have that once. Yeah. Because you don't, I don't. No, I stay away from it all. I never forgot that.
Right.
He was a jerk.
I just wanted to drive by to see where it was at in vicinity to the Bayshore Pier.
Yeah, I was lucky. I mean, it literally just, I don't have any of those in my head. I can drive by an accident on the highway and I don't have to look.
All right.
Yeah.
No rubbernecking for you.
Nope.
You got taught an early lesson.
Yep. I mind my own damn business. If somebody needs me to help, you know, I can look around. There's fire trucks, ambulances there. What am I going to do? If there's an accident and nobody's there, I will stop and help.
Right.
But as soon as I see the pros there, I'm out. I right by.
You right.
know? But if there's nobody there, I'll stop and help because...
It's the right thing to do.
Yeah, I have some skills. You know, I can help. Let's see. Porchella Beach, the canal systems. Porchella Beach is closed to everything but the boat ramp and the parking lot, as far as I know.
Right. The canals themselves have been doing really pretty good. A lot of jacks. Been quite a few small snook. Mangrove snapper have finally started to move back into those canals. Guys are still catching some sand bream in all sorts of bizarre places. Not even way, way in the far back by 41. They're catching them as close to the mouths of the canals by Grassy Point. A couple guys have hooked into some juvenile tarpon in both Spring Lake and the Edgewater Lake. And then there was a gentleman, actually he was just in here about half hour ago, him and his buddy were out front of the beach complex by the Ackerman Waterway, anchored up, just fishing for whatever, and they got they were free lining a dead sardine out the back while they were playing with their shrimp and got a 44-inch cobia. So there's been a good mess of fish right there in that whole basin of Alligator Bay. So it's definitely not too bad out there.
Okay, that's going to take us over to Elgin Pier, pier closed. Mayaca River area.
Still a lot of snook up there in the north end of the Mayaca Cutoff, and even a few over there in the actual Tippecanoe. And then there's been some Spanish mackerel further down towards the mouth of the river, kind of around 7 and 8. But they've been variable. Like I said, you know, bait's been the big issue. If you see some bait around or free-jumping Spanish mackerel, it's worth definitely sticking around that area, but I would slow troll through it. Nothing happens. Keep going until you find some.
Yeah, that's a perfect example of having a plan A with a plan D or E in backup. If you're trolling and you hook a fish, just stop and start casting. You do not have to keep trolling.
Right.
Fish on. All right, stop. Start casting the rods. Just the ones that are being trolled, just reel them in and then cast them out. Reel them in, cast them out. You might not have to troll. You know there's fish there. You caught one.
Right.
So
Spanish mackerel are schooling to loose schooling fish, so if there's one, there's usually several.
Ladyfish, jacks, trout, all these fish can be found while trolling, and then just stop and fish. And if you cast for one and you don't get anything, go trolling again.
Right. Hey, how about that?
Oh my God, we're getting into some theoretical physics here now. All right. One of the things about it is sometimes the simplest things are the hardest to understand. They're so difficult to get that you can do this and that, or this or that. It doesn't have to be one thing. South Gulf Cove canals.
The only thing I've got is a couple snook that guys have been hooking as they've been trolling out of the canal system. You guys bought some minnows and worms to go back there and try for the tilapia and the cichlids because they said they're seeing a lot, but they didn't come back in to give me a feedback on it.
It's amazing how the tilapia, and we've got some areas where the tilapia are in that 6-7 pound range.
Right.
huge. I mean, 20-some inches, big, tall. I mean, they're...
They look like a triple tail.
And
it's crazy.
And they're hitting little spinner baits from a beetle spin, and Strike King has that little tiny, tiny spinner bait, and they're just knocking the heck out of it. People forget when fish are smaller, let's say tarpon, you're going to go out fishing for them with these little tiny, tiny lures, quarter ounce rattle traps, half ounce is too big, tiny traps, the DOA terrorize the small one and the mid-size one, and then you can go over to like the 4-inch paddle tail shads. These are appropriate sizes for these smaller tarpon. But if you get into the bigger ones, you got to switch to DOA bait buster. You got to go to something different to catch these fish. On the flats, we're using that subwalk thing from Rapala. Out in the middle, you can use it. But each area, each size fish has a size lure they prefer.
Right.
And when you get into these giant tilapia, you're throwing little spinner baits. From a big beetle spin to that little tiny Strike King spinner. These are awesome things, but will the small ones eat the same thing? No. It's like a completely different species.
Yeah. It's amazing how picky they can be.
And with the little ones, I'm using worms, maybe minnows, maybe bread, or little tiny grub tails, you know, but they got to be smaller fish.
Crappie jigs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's crazy how when a fish at one size and people say, well, no, this is how you fish for them. Well, not when they're huge.
Yeah. Throw the unexpected at them, you'd be surprised.
Well, how often have we said, if you want a big fish, you throw a big lure?
Mm-hmm.
But now it becomes musky fishing, where you're going to throw 500, 1,000 casts to get that one big fish.
Right.
But using a bait that's big enough where the small ones don't hit it.
Right.
If you use a smaller bait, you can catch a lot of smaller fish and the bigger fish.
Yeah.
But big bait, big fish means you're not using something so big that the little ones can't get it.
No, that's true.
Well, we're on the west side.
The west wall is, there's actually quite a bit of life on there, especially on the top of the bar and outside of the bar. There's been a couple of pompano. Guys are seeing cobia. One guy caught one. There's been some tarpon on the outside of the bar. And then if you go up and move along the bushes, you know, the snook and the redfish have been doing fairly well, but most of the activity is from the radio tower south. And then there's been a lot of manatees over there right now, so if you want to go do some sightseeing and fishing, that's a killer area to see some stuff. I mean, I had a guy show me a picture earlier with some video out there on the flats, and he had a dozen manatees around, and then he panned over to another video and he had two bonnethead sharks swimming around the boat, you know, so he saw a lot of life. And then Carl the other day, when he was running some of his customers on that southern tip down there, he took a picture of a sawfish in 3 feet of water, 4 feet of water.
I can understand why the state said no party boats, you know, I get that.
Mm-hmm.
But they say you got to be in groups of less than 10. Most of these guys only take 2 to 4 people out on the smaller charters.
Right.
I just wonder why on the charters they didn't say, okay, limit of so many people. But they closed them down. They said no charters. It makes no sense.
Right.
You got, you know, the captain and two other guys are the captain and, you know, 3 or 4 other guys. That's still only 5 tops.
Yeah. It doesn't make any sense.
Even if you used all 6 of your, you know, people you were allowed on the boat, you're still at 7.
Right.
But I guess you can't be 6 feet apart.
I guess.
Unless you only have... But if you have 2 guys, you can easily be 6 feet apart on a, you know, 21-foot boat.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
You know, I was just surprised why the inshore charters got shut down.
What if it's 3 or 4 of your friends going out fishing?
No, you can do that.
No difference than a charter.
Well, it kind of is because they're buddies that you're with and you know, but... Whereas with a charter, they could be from anywhere.
True. That's true. I guess from a safety standpoint, I can see that.
I don't know.
Yeah.
A lot of people are getting buffs now for social distancing mask.
Mm-hmm.
The, you know, you've got one on, everybody in here is wearing them. Now, I will tell you, for just keeping stuff away from you, it's a pretty good idea. But if you're going to get into a crowd of people, the wonderful thing about a buff is you can simply take some paper towel or a napkin or anything like that, put it inside of the buff. Now, what I like about this idea is that the napkin or the paper towel will actually do like most of the mask will, for as far as, you know, stopping a lot of the stuff. But everybody wearing masks is usually in temperatures 70 or less.
Right.
And masks are fine because it's cold. Once you get 80 degrees and more, like it is in Florida, you get so much the moisture from your breath and everything, and then the moisture in the air, it turns them into gooey mess right away.
Right.
Now, I don't know if this is good idea or bad idea, but what I like about the buff is you can simply throw the paper towel away. You know, very little exposure with it because it's inside the buff. And you can simply turn the buff a quarter turn every time you feel it starting to get damp from the humidity from your breath and all that kind of stuff. And it can be drying out. Well, it's, you know, your germ. So, you know, if you just turn it slightly, I mean, it's going around to the back of your neck. And when you get home, you're going to take a shower.
Right.
That's the one thing I've changed in my habits. I usually take a shower in the morning before I come to work. Now what I'm doing is when I get home, I take a shower after being in the store right away.
Yep.
So with that just simple thing, and if you have enough buffs so that every other day, you know, you can wash it out good, you know, little disinfectant, but you don't want to be breathing disinfectant, so use it sparingly. But a paper towel in a buff is as good as those white masks or the cloth masks that they're doing. And you can simply move it every time you feel it beginning to get a little wet. Just turn it a quarter turn and let it kind of stay dry. Good thing is they're your germs. You know what I mean? You're just moving them to your ear. You know, okay, my mouth is here. Now I move that part over towards where my ear is. Because whenever any of the masks get wet, they're no good. Right. I'm not talking about wet from the rain or, you know, somebody spraying you with a hose. I'm talking about simply from your breath.
Right. Absolutely.
So, that's one of the things that's going on with that. That's one of the reasons I'm kind of liking it. If I'm going to go out in public where I got to be around a bunch of people, I'm taking a buff, a few extra, you know, squares of paper towel, and that is what I will do to protect myself. And maybe others for me, because I'm not wearing a mask. I'm not doing any of that stuff.
Right.
I mean, I smoke. I'm going to touch my face all day, so I'm probably going to die of this. Well, all right, Cape Hayes, Muddy Bay.
Oh, let's see. There's been a lot of redfish down inside Muddy Bay. And then there's also been some snook inside there also. And then the Cape Hayes bar itself, there's been Spanish mackerel, ladyfish, a few small jacks. Had a guy catch several blue runners there the other day. And then the, haven't heard of any real trout, pompano, or any of the other stuff, but, you know, the Spanish and the ladyfish and the jacks, those are always still fun. One guy did catch a black tip right there at the point by marker 5. He was fishing for cobia and got about a 4.5-foot black tip. He actually held it up yesterday as he was going through the canal. Look what I got. It was pretty cool. He was pretty excited. It's funny, Christina's always like, well, the boat's name, I can tell you the name of the boat, but I can't tell you who the people are. I'm like, eh, well, and I can't tell you any of those. So when people start coming, I'm going to start asking them their boat name, so that way I can kind of relate back to her back and forth, because it's kind of funny. She's my eyes for all that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, which is a good thing. You know,
it is.
You got a good pair of eyes there. She's good with that.
Yeah.
You know, Bull Bay, Turtle Bay?
That's definitely the place to be. Redfish, snook, some trout, some good mangrove snapper have been starting to move underneath all those fish shacks inside Bull Bay. There's been ladyfish, a few assorted sizes of sharks. Everyone seems to be catching a variety of stuff down there, both inside Turtle and Bull and also out front along the sand flats there. A lot of guys are seeing schools of snook moving all over out front from the entrance of Turtle Bay over towards Devilfish. One guy did bump a school of about 20 redfish closer towards Devilfish. And he said all those redfish were giant. He said every one of them looked like they were over 30 inches. He said it was the coolest thing ever, and it freaked him out because he was just drifting along looking for pinfish and baitfish, and they just blew out all around him.
Cape Hayes, Danger Reef.
Spanish mackerel. Been a few mangrove snapper and a couple of sharks, but quite a few Spanish. The sharks have been bulls, black tips. One guy got about a 5-foot hammerhead that swam by the boat. Haven't heard of any cobia there, but they should be there. So those are definitely areas that are worth hanging out for a little while and checking out.
Gaspilla Sound.
That's almost the same as Bull and Turtle Bay. That whole area between Devilfish and Catfish Creek. Snook, big redfish, some trout, some ladyfish. Been some juvenile tarpon out there in that deeper water of those flats in that 4 to 6 feet of water. They're not showing themselves a lot, but it definitely worked drifting over and casting a bait buster or even free lining a pinfish under a float or a ladyfish. See what happens. Kind of a good mixed gamut all through that area.
Okay. Gasparilla Pass.
Mangrove snapper started to move in there. Whiting started to move in there, and then of course the snook and the redfish have been right along the shoreline underneath the docks, and then there's been a few sharks. I haven't heard of any tarpon over there, but I wouldn't be surprised if they showed up, so you should be ready for that. You know, they always seem to like moving between the bridges and the pass itself there.
Right. Lemon Bay.
I've got nothing up there still. Nothing at all. Guys that are going out of there are heading offshore.
Yeah, I had a guy call up, and he's so worried about the virus, he doesn't want to come into the store and do it. And said, but I can't do this over the phone. I can't sit here and ask you the 100 questions we need to ask you. Where are you going? What kind of boat? He's brand new down here. You know, he got a house. He's down here where he's got a boat, and he wants all this stuff. I said, bud, you're going to have to come to the store. Come in during the week when we're a little slower, probably Tuesday or Wednesday's the best day. I said, wear a mask. Do what you got to do to make yourself feel good, but I can't do this all over the phone.
Right.
I mean, people want me to sit on the phone with them for an hour about, you know, where should they go and all that. And we can do some of that, but it's almost impossible. You know, just suck it up, buttercup. You know, find yourself some cotton gloves work just fine. You can wash them. You know, I would say if I was going to do something with gloves, I would be using those like Berkeley gloves that we have. They have the, you know, the back mm-hmm. on them, and they have the rubber bottoms.
Yeah.
They're easily washed, easily sanitized. You know, they're inexpensive. Get your cheap cotton work gloves and buy 4 pairs and just keep washing them.
Right.
Washing is a good thing. You Absolutely. Don't have to have something you can throw away.
Right.
And it's going to do every bit as good as anything else to protect you. You know, the same thing with improvising some mask. But the big thing is, the more you have anything that you have all the time, if you can't wash it and sanitize it, it does you no good.
No.
In fact, it's going to be more harmful. And if you know, it's just so many confusing things. Yeah, you're going to have to warn me if you want to do all that.
Sorry. I didn't know the straw was up.
I'll just turn your thing down. Let's see. The pier's closed in Englewood.
Yep.
Anything under the bridge?
The guy was fishing for some whiting and catching those with some pretty good success, and then he actually caught a couple of nice-sized sheep's head.
Okay.
That was the only one report I got up in that area. Okay.
I got to back you down a little bit.
Sorry.
Because everything you do is just...
magnified.
Yeah, 200%. You know, it's just weird. You pay all this money for these microphones, and if something's going on 20 feet across the room, it comes out clearer than someone 4 inches from the microphone.
Right.
All right. What's going on in Venice? Is all that stuff closed?
It's all closed up, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just going to put possible closed. Don't know. Hard to get information right now because nobody wants to answer the phone.
Right, and even their websites aren't updated.
Yeah, they don't do anything on their websites. And in order for us to be open, I was on the phone and emailing with Charlotte County. Now, everybody knows I'm not a huge fan of most of Charlotte County, the government we're talking about here. But I will say their emergency guy deserves a medal. I mean, you call, left a message, he calls back. He's willing to talk over ideas. I was so impressed. The Charlotte County Sheriff's Office, absolutely amazing. I mean, their public officer, it's a woman. She was, spectacular. And everybody was wanting to help on the local government level, between the Sheriff's Office and the county. Amazing amount of help, amazing amount. Yes, I'll answer that question. Yes, okay, I know, I don't know, or I'll find out. And those are the things you want from people. I don't know, or yes, you can, no, you can't, or I'll find out. I don't know, I'll find out. Right. Those are three answers that are acceptable. I was watching the coronavirus task force, and one of the reporters asked a question, and Mike Pence, the vice president, came out and talked, and Trump looks at him and says, "Mike, that was amazing." He says, "You talked for 3 minutes and never touched the question." He told the reporter, he says, "Listen, I don't have a good answer for you, but I will tomorrow." I said, "I'm so impressed."
That's really good.
And at this point, watching what our federal government is doing to support the states and everything and put up with all the nasty questions and the gotcha stuff, I'm a huge supporter. Huge now. I don't care who knows it. If you don't like it, I don't care anymore. I've never seen a response like this. I've never lived through anything like this. But if you're going to be an intelligent person and you are going to, provide good information, you have to change your opinion as you get new information. I've come in here and said, "Okay, guys, we don't have to worry about this. This is this because, four doctors are saying this." And then 3 days later, they're going, "Oh, guys, I was wrong. I had to change that because we've got new information. The testing's revealing you got to do this and got to do that." So if you change your mind or change your opinion because you've received new or better information, that makes you intelligent. That doesn't make what you said before a lie. Doesn't make what you said before, misleading or anything. It's everything that we talk about with fishing. As we gain new information, we change our tactics. We change where we go. It's the same thing with this virus stuff. We're just going to have to be ready to change our opinions as information comes in. And Robert can tell you, I've come in and said, "Okay, this is our main focus right now because we've got to be careful of this and this." Oh, that's changing, guys. Now we got to do that plus this. And right. If you're not intelligent, and the sure sign that you're not really too bright is if you get new information and you keep your old opinion, consider you might be educated beyond your intelligence at that point. New information provides for new opinions. Mm-hmm. And it's the same with fishing, the virus, driving on the highway, dealing with your family. Every time you get new information, update your opinion. All right, Gulf of Mexico. This has been kind of spectacular, but we had a couple windy days. Did that matter?
It slowed a few people down going out there, but prior to the wind, and this weekend is supposed to, tomorrow is supposed to be, 1 to 2 miles an hour or something like that.
Right.
Near shore. Basically, from the passes to 10 miles out, you've got Spanish mackerel, a few king mackerel, bonita, blackfin tuna, cobia, and permit. All these kind of more open water, kind of more semi-pelagic to pelagic fish are doing incredible. the bottom fishing on the near shore reefs and stuff like that have been, they're okay, I guess. I mean, the guys are talking about some snapper, some porgies and grunts, but they're so excited about the Spanish and the Kings and the other stuff that that's just kind of incidental part of the conversation.
So how far out do you go to get bottom fishing?
The better big mangrove snapper have been doing good at about 20 to 25 miles, you know, 70 to 80 feet of water. A couple guys have been catching some legal size red grouper in that same depth, but the bigger red grouper, some bigger mangs, some lane snapper, all been out there like that 90 to 110 feet of water still. But there's also been some bigger kings out there. Had one guy jump a sailfish out there that was bottom fishing, hooked it and like didn't know what was going on, reeled it up, and it came launching into the air through the hook. So there's been some really, really cool stuff out there. I mean, you got a lot of options, and there's also been a lot of sharks too, from half a mile out to 30 miles out. Big bulls, sandbars, black tips, a lot of small hammerheads, which is to be expected when those smaller kings are around, you know, and I mean small, like 6 to 8 foot hammerheads. So it's a lot of really good life out there. The weird part is I haven't heard much about the bait this week as much as I did last week. You know, last week there was threadies, sardines, all sorts of bait fish. This week guys said they're seeing them and they're catching a few, but not raving about it. So I don't know if it's just kind of normal to them now and they're not saying anything or what.
No, I had a lot of questions about where did the bait go? Where did the bait go? Where's the bait? Right. And problem is we had a cold front.
Yeah, that and pressure changed.
Once you have a cold front, you have a temperature change, you have a pressure change, and all that is right on the surface. And, you know, that's where it's mostly hit, and a lot of that bait right there by the top. So the bait's going to be down deeper water. They're going to be, it's going to be hard to find bait for a day or two until this kind of goes. I can tell you, this was so wonderful this morning. I woke up at 6. I'm out back on the porch having a smoke and a coffee. And, man, it was just a little bit chilly. And I said, oh, man, I didn't expect to see this again this year.
Right.
And then I look, and I quit watching the Weather Channel. Oh, God. And the end of the earth is coming in 12 years. I heard that in the 80s. I've been listening to that half of my life. The, you know, we're going to all die. The earth is changing. If that was true, Obama would have bought a house on top of a mountain, not on the beach.
Right.
You know, I'm sorry. That's a simple answer for it. If all this stuff they're all saying was true, Obama would have bought property on top of a mountain. He would not have bought on the shore of the Atlantic Ocean. You know what I mean? This is simple, easy, guys. This is, you know, the head cheerleader for all this. When President Obama bought on the beach, he literally said, I've been lying to you. You know, I'm not a terrifically complex person, but what you do says a lot more than what you say. And if he was that terrified that the water was going to come up 20 feet and flood everything, he would have bought a mountain estate. I mean, I don't know. Am I flawed in my logic?
No, that makes sense.
You know, I'm not trying to. I'm just saying, he's the one who's been saying the most about it. And Forget if you like him as a president or don't like him as a president. It doesn't matter if you like the person or don't like the person. Watch what they do, not what they say. And if they say the climate change is going to flood the coastal areas and nothing's going to be worth anything, you don't buy a house on the beach. You buy on the mountain. So, you know, doesn't matter if you like him or don't like him. This is what he did. So, Ponderosa, Sanibel, I'm going to say beach is closed. I don't even know if you can fish at all down there.
Some of the boat ramps are still open, but I haven't gotten any reports down there. So I honestly don't know. One guy did run down to the Knapp's Point looking for tarpon and didn't find any. But haven't gotten any actual feedback.
Okay. Around Matt Lachey, what's going on?
There's been a lot of redfish and snook down throughout that whole area, but only two guys have given me reports for that area. It's been pretty quiet.
Yeah. And rightly so. If if you live in Pine Island and you're going to go fishing down there, there's a couple of bait shops, one down St. James City. I don't know if there's one up by Boquilla, but I'm sure there's one in Matt Lachey. You know, this is a time to stay close to home.
Right.
You know, and while we do appreciate so many of you coming up here, this is not the time to do it.
Right.
This is the time for everybody to hunker down and stay kind of close to home. If you live in Charlotte, try to stay in Charlotte County. If you live in Lee County, stay in Lee County. If you live in DeSoto, I'm going to say no, DeSoto. You come here, we'll go there. Because I love DeSoto County, and I don't want to limit myself because I really like fishing in DeSoto County.
You're right there on the border.
Is that selfish? But I only live a little tiny ways from the border.
Yeah, I mean, and you're, what, a mile away by water?
Oh, yeah.
Nothing.
And
so, yeah.
I actually, you know, I really like DeSoto County, the parks and the water, the fishing. So,
yeah.
Yeah, what can I say? All right. Pine Island Sound.
A lot of snook, redfish. I mean, the water's gin clear down there right now, so guys are sight fishing a lot of different fish. Snook, redfish up along the bushes. They're seeing a handful of tarpon. If you're fishing for them all day long, you're going to come across a dozen fish drifting in the flats and the deeper holes down there. A lot of sharks, black tips, bulls, a few lemons. One guy got a nice little nurse shark the other day. And then the Spanish mackerel have been scattered throughout that whole area along the ICW.
God darn fingers.
So good mix mash of stuff down there. It's been pretty good. You know, the Spanish mackerel have been pretty good size, you know, 20, 22 inch, 23 inch. I haven't heard of the giants lately, but pretty good quality fish. One guy did catch a 26 inch gag grouper drifting over one of the sand holes, you know, so there's been kind of an assortment down there, and the water's, like I said, beautiful, clear. Sight fishing is very, very realistic right now.
All right, Jug Creek Shoals, north end of Pine Island.
Got nothing.
Okay. And Burnt Store, Two Pines area.
Right there, just south of Burnt Store, they're catching some ladyfish, a couple of pompano. There has been an occasional tarpon on the outside of the bar, and that's all I've gotten. I haven't heard of any of the snook or the redfish, which should theoretically be all along there, but got nothing.
I can tell you, I am the epitome of not that bright, you know. I sit there and I know what I'm supposed to be doing, know what I'm supposed to be hitting, and I'm just not good enough, bright enough to be able to manage the keyboard fast enough. And I've been doing this a long time. You
right.
Think I should be like lightning fast and accurate, and I'm just not getting any better. It shows you I'm just smarter than the bag the rocks come in. You know, I just can't get it. Oh, God. You know. Anyway, east side of the harbor.
There's quite a few snook and redfish over there. They're just very scattered, singles and doubles here and there. On top of the bar and on the outside of the bar, though, there has been some cobia, a few sharks. A couple guys did see some tarpon earlier this week. One guy did hook two fishing out there in the early morning. Other than that, I got nothing else. Hasn't been gangbusters, just good.
All right, Alligator Creek.
Jacks. There's been some big jacks running through there. And then the snook have been doing really well. A couple of the land-based people have been fishing off their docks and catching some decent mangrove snapper, too. Burnt Store Isles/Meadows has got some mangrove snapper starting to move up inside there with some black drum also. So kind of a mixed barrage.
I hear Ponce is still open, but they're limiting people on the docks and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You've got to stay a rod width apart, but it's sketchy.
So that's what, two people?
Yeah, it's real sketchy. I don't know what's going on there at Ponce.
Yeah, I haven't had any report there at all either.
Okay. And the PGI canals.
Snook. Big jacks, some juvenile tarpon, And then the people that have been fishing off their docks have been talking about the black drum, the mangrove snapper, an occasional sheep's head. Kind of a mixed little barrage of things going through there, but a lot of the guys are still excited about all the big jacks. They've been catching them both from their docks and their boat.
All right, Gilchrist beer?
I got nothing there.
The Alligator Creek Reef.
Some Spanish mackerel. Been a couple of sharks. Been a couple of short cobia. And one guy did get into a few mangrove snapper up on the north end. He said he only caught a few, but they were like running 12, 12 and a half, 13 inches. So he said they weren't bad. He said it was worth the handful that he caught. Him and his wife are going to have a nice meal for two nights in a row, he said.
Yeah, it's surprising. You know, a lot of people kind of sharing the fish and having a good time and neighborhood individual fish fries.
Yeah.
You know, they're getting a bunch for the neighborhood, but here you go, here's some fillets and, you know, yeah, tonight. And, you know, they kind of call and chat on the phone and stuff.
Yeah.
Deep holes in the harbor.
There's been a lot of Spanish mackerel scattered out there has been the main thing. But there has been some tarpon out there along with a few sharks and an occasional cobia. Most of the sharks seem to be black tips right now. And then the tarpon had just been hodgepodged. They're there one day and nothing for 2 days and then back again.
All right, this one's going to test you, the freshwater fishing.
A lot of guys still buying shiners. I mean, the shiners have been off the chain with guys going bass fishing, but they're just jumping from spot to spot wherever they can go. 3-pound bass, 4-pound bass. Had one guy catch a 6-pound bass over in Nine Mile Canal. And then they've been catching a few bluegill and, of course, the tilapia and Mayan cichlids in some of those canal systems. But nobody's being specific because I think they're just moving around so much, hitting one spot to the next. They're not sitting for very long. Quite a few guys buying shiners that live over in the Rotunda area too, and they've been saying the same thing, just some bass and some occasional bluegill and tilapia.
Okay. Get my other program started here.
But yeah, the freshwater fishing seems to have picked up just because that's a lot of land-based places you can go.
Yeah, go to fishandfranks.com, scroll all the way to the bottom of the page. That's where we have all of the, land-based freshwater spots. The first section of that Where to Fish pages are all saltwater spots. Best bet for tarpon, any red dots?
No, I'm going to go with...
All right, yellow dots?
Yellow dots, I'm going to go with the 20-foot holes and around Boca Grande Pass and Captiva Pass.
Okay.
And then also through the ICW down there in Pine Island.
All right. What about out in front of Burnt Store Two Pines?
There's only been a couple of reports there, though. So I'd say like more of a 50. Yeah.
Chance?
Yeah, chance.
Any place else for white dots?
The 41 bridge.
Alright. Anything else? Beaches? Anywhere?
Gasparilla. Around the trestles there and the bridges and the pass.
Okay.
But I haven't heard of much out on the beaches.
That all we got?
I think that's it.
Alright. So what's your... As we finalize this, what's your thoughts for today?
I think definitely, I mean, for sure shrimp are going to be one of your best bets. Crabs, if you can get them, and squirrel fish and pinfish anywhere is going to work good too, because they focus on feeding on those things as they come in from offshore. So even if you were to run out to Boca and catch some squirrel fish and pinfish and come back inside because you saw tarpon earlier, I think there's a good chance they'll eat them. And then the bait busters have still been working with some consistency. Any day now, I mean, well, the front kind of messed things up a little bit.
But wasn't it wonderful? Okay, yeah, it's going to mess up the fishing a little bit, but it's
short-term.
Oh, nice out.
Short-term, yeah.
It's
a nice little break.
You know, I don't know. It's really a crazy scenario with all this stuff kind of coming and going and changing and then changing back. And, you know.
Absolutely.
I don't know. It just kind of all boggles me a little bit. I had a file I found out won't play on one of the shows. I got to go up and get a new copy of it. I've tried everything to render my... I got one more trick to try and try, but our Thursday show we do in WKDW is not actually playing right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know what's up with that. It's making me nuts.
It's a little strange.
Yeah, I mean, I do the same thing every week. It's not like I did anything different. Right. But I'm going to have to run it through Audacity and resave it as another type of file, delete it all off the internet everywhere else, and then go back and put it up. So, see if that works. I don't know. But I checked it today, and all of a sudden the file's bad.
Weird. Maybe RJ left-clicked instead of right-clicked.
I mean, yeah, well, he's been a little freaked out.
Yeah. We're all a little bewildered in some way, shape, or form. Some are freaked out. Some are just whatever. But, you know, even though you're not freaked out, you've still got a million things going on all around you.
Oh, no, it's...
So, to I've keep focus on anything...
Feeling like I'm going to throw up just from the stress.
Right. So, to keep focus on anything, it's not surprising that, hey, occasionally you drop a ball while juggling all those other ones.
Oh.
You know, so, I mean, God bless you for doing an amazing job of keeping some sanity to me and straightening me out a little bit and everybody else around you as best you can. Mm-hmm. So... We're all doing whatever we possibly can to get through whatever this is.
I can tell you, it's just so hard because I'm okay when if I can decide what's going on. I just, you know, it's the most stressful thing about what's happening to everyone right now is the decisions are not ours. This has been the government making decisions for us. This is why I've decided that irrespective of what it costs me business-wise, I want to fight anything socialist, communist, you know, where the government makes more and more of our decisions. I want the government to back the heck off and stay out of our lives. This is what socialism feels like. If you want to know what it is, and you want to know what socialism is like, the government is telling you stay home. Now, they're not doing it with a gun. Everybody says China did so great. They put guards outside people's houses. They were going to shoot them if they came out. Right. That's what communism does. They literally open the door after a couple weeks and find dead people inside. Mm-hmm. That's communism. That's socialism. That is what we do not want. You want to understand what it feels like? Look around you. Everybody's stressed. The government... And we are volunteering to do this, to social distance, to keep away from everybody, minimize our movements, minimize our footprints. And I don't care who knows it. I am not a freaking socialist. I want everybody to have their own decisions, their own choices. I think that once this is over, there should be a massive movement, not towards capitalism so much, although I believe in it, about individual freedoms, individual rights, the right of somebody to say something horrible, and I should defend that, whether I agree with it or not. But I'm no longer going to do that when it comes to people who think socialism is a good thing. I'm living through it right now, and it is a bad thing. I hate it. I like everybody to have their own choice in... to believe in whatever religion they want, to believe in their or no religion, or whatever you want to do. I want everybody to be able to be happy being who they are. But socialism, bad, bad, awful thing. I hate when people tell me, and I have to go and say, may I open my store, or may I not open my store? You know, what am I doing, what am I not doing? You know what I mean?
Right.
This is socialism, and it doesn't feel good. And I'm more than willing to voluntarily do socialism, but not for long. Not for long. I was born in the wrong era to support that. So, anyway, boys and girls, we love you all. And no matter what political party or religion or ethnic group. Like y'all. Truly do. Because, I mean, in here at the store, we have hardcore Democrats, Republicans, independents, people who don't know, wouldn't know where to go to vote if they had to. Other people would never miss it and vote along massive party lines. And we've got many religions and we've got many colors and all kinds of stuff. And, but, I have my opinion and this is my show.
Right.
And I don't like socialism. My God, I hate when the government tells me what to do. So, anyway, anything else, Robert?
No, just go out there, be safe, you know, wash your hands a lot, go fish as much as you possibly can, and at this point, honestly, watch the sunset tonight, take your time, actually sit down and watch it,
well,
and enjoy it.
I told you I went into the hoarding mode. I have 140 disposable plastic shot glasses.
Right.
So
I'm ready for one.
I'm officially a hoarder now. I've got 140 plastic shot glasses.
Speaking of that, are the liquor stores open?
Did you look above your head? How many more bottles of booze do you want? I'm afraid this shelf's going to fall down.
You got a spare Captain that I can buy?
I've got...
She's out.
Believe it or not, I got Captain Morgan that says Fish and Frank on the bottle. Cliff gave that to me.
That's awesome.
I've got an extra half gallon up there if you want it. Some rum. No problem. I mean, Robert, could you ask for more booze that's sitting above our head right now?
Didn't think about that. We're good.
Well, I'm one of the few people who can actually say I take them medicinally.
Yeah.
Well, I have motor tremor disorders, and my doctor told me if you have a shot of booze, does that calm your tremors down? I said, I don't know. And I tried it, and it does work. I can tie knots and stuff. Now, I don't drink very often or very much. I might go weeks without one. And some days I might have to come back and have two or three half shots. It just depends upon how my muscle tremors are doing that day. But people found that out and found out I like homemade moonshine stuff. And they brought me moonshine from all over the country. It's amazing. And, I mean, truly one of the luckiest individuals who really, really, truly just likes my customers. It's the best part about our job.
Right.
But if you don't like me, it's okay. You know, I don't need you to like me. But these are my opinions. This is the way I live my life. And that's all there is to it. So, Robert will tell you, I'm only part bad guy, part good guy.
No, you got the greatest heart in the world. You're always with the right intentions, just a little rough with
I talk rough. I'm not as bad as I sound.
No. That's what I mean. It's sometimes to the point of it's the brutal honesty sometimes, but it's the right answer.
I hope so.
It
but
is.
But it's my answer, and it's an honest answer.
There's no ill intent with it. It comes off rough and hurts, but you know what? The truth does hurt most of the time. It really does. That's why so many people in this world and this society sugarcoat everything and are such candy asses.
Well, that's being politically correct, which is the unique concept of thinking you can pick up feces by the clean end.
Right.
Sometimes there's no clean end to the answer.
Right.
Sometimes they're both crappy.
Right.
And I'm just going to avoid that. I know there's nothing good. But this is what you have to believe. And I have no problem with people talking that they want to be socialist. That's fine. My idea is to argue against it. But
right.
Would I ever want to shut somebody down with their opinion? Absolutely not. Because I believe the old theory of I will fight to the death for your right to say that which I hate the most.
Right.
And I always ask these people who say they're socially, you know, they love everybody and all that. Would you do the same for me? And if you would not do the same for me, what's wrong with you?
Right.
So
that's pretty profound there.
Anyway, that's about it for me. Too much pontificating.
That was pretty profound. I like that. That's really good.
Oh, it's true. And you know I believe that.
I know you do. I absolutely know you do.
And the producer is telling us, time for Frank to shut the heck up. Too much talking going on today. But we wanted to chat. We know everybody's a little bit bored. And hopefully you get a little entertainment out of this. And hopefully you're not too mad at me. So anyway, Fish and Frank here, Robert in the chair across from me, and another from coronavirus weirdness, man.
Right.
This is the craziest thing ever. So you guys be healthy, be safe, and when this is all over, you know, we can get back to our lives. So bye. Say goodbye, Robert.
Goodbye, Robert.
Henny Youngman lives in Port Charlotte.